we might want to think about when applying to this quote of this person. And then I'm going to get on with the last sign of a major sign of the zodiac. So our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the gift of life. As we walk this planet, this whole world is going to go on when we're gone. And it's going to go on to witness your wrath, actually. Not to be negative, but this world, as opposed to what scientists and human beings that deny you, it's going to go on, and it's going to go on to your second advent. It's going to go on to your fierce wrath as set forth in the book of Revelation. But also, too, a bright spot in that is that we are going to be manifested in glory at your right hand in the super heavenlies before your second advent. I believe that. I think most of all of us do. And for that, we are tremendously thankful. Thankful tonight. We're glad that Roger came through his surgery well. Talked to him. Seems like he's doing great. He's got a very excellent attitude. I guess he can eat now after a year. That's incredible. I'd have a problem with that one. I like to eat. Even though I'm short, I can eat a lot. And that he's been through quite a war, but I do know this. I do know that all of us are going through quite a war in one manner or another, what it might be. We have an opposer, you know, we are not ignorant of his devices, at least some of them for sure. And we have been called to the highest calling, a sacred secret revealed, ever revealed to any created being. And so, naturally, we would draw attention from one that has fallen from such a gracious place because of his rebellion. And so we can certainly learn from his mistakes. And so we pray that, as Alan Noss pointed out, Alan Noss in his last study is excellent. He's got quite a gift of research. He's got a good mind for research. He was pointing out the lives of and testimonies of Bullinger and Welch, and he said that Bullinger himself said it's not a matter of how successful we are. It's not a matter of how many dynamite sermons we give. It's not a matter of how many volumes of books we write. It's a matter of that we are faithful stewards of the Word of God and our calling, no matter who we are and what opportunities we have and what state of position in life we find ourselves. We've all been given a measure of grace. And I believe that whether you're a housewife or you're an engineer or whether you're a dentist or a farmer or whoever you might be, you've been given a level of grace to fulfill, let's say, and we are all equal. I believe Scripture teaches in the mind of God as to how we fulfill that measure of grace that he's given to us. And so none of us should feel inadequate, or none of us should feel like we're behind anybody else if, in fact, this is what I truly believe in my heart. Men and women alike, if we're faithful stewards according to our calling, what a tremendous gift, and to the Word of God. And we pray for strength for that, no matter what we face, no matter how worn out we get, that he can set us aside and we can kneel before him. He's always the same. He's always there to help us. He's always there to uplift us. He never changes, and that's quite a God we have. So we're thankful for that, and we pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit on these scriptures tonight, that that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, he is God, and he is the interpreter of the scriptures, the tremendous and holy scriptures that we read and that we have before us. And we pray that his enlightenment might be on each individual as we study the breastplate of the high priest, the precious stones of God that existed in the tabernacle and are far-reaching as we will continue in this study. In the name of our Lord and Savior, and according to the songs that Tony has played, yes, praise his awesome name. Praise his awesome name. I find myself that if I'm ever at a low, I can, nothing else, I can praise his tremendous and awesome name. Amen. Through the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. And I want to thank Tony for opening up the room, if he did, or Ron, and for the songs this evening. I believe that I can direct you to some evidence introduced by Tony, another couple of charts that I hope that you've downloaded. One is a chart that shows the 12 tribes of Israel on the breastplate of the high priest in their order, as we have found out at least to this point. And then the other chart I've researched, and to this point those are the actual stones that at least as far as my knowledge is today, those are the actual stones that were in the breastplate. And you know, that can be debated. The order of these stones can be debated, but of course that's what all of these lessons are all about. And so we're going to continue with the last major sign of the zodiac tonight, Leo. And so again, why are we studying? Why are we studying in such detail things that aren't of our calling? Well, I would say that if nothing else, we can compare the manifold wisdom of God in how he's laid out his plan through the nation of Israel, through the sons of Jacob, through the high priest, through the tabernacle, through the New Jerusalem, through the foundation stones that were there. Numbers are crystallized how just absolutely fantastic our calling is at the right hand of God in the super heavenlies, a calling that was never, ever made known to any created being before it was put forth by the Apostle Paul. That in itself is are astounding words even to say. And so, if nothing else, that's the reason for this. But I think as we go, and this is a detailed study, I cannot deny that. This is going to go on for a while, certainly. Eventually, after tonight, we're going to be looking at the foundation stones in the New Jerusalem. We're going to be looking at, looking back at when these sons of Jacob were born. We mentioned before that actually each of these sons was born on a different month, apparently. I'll say that apparently. But if that's true, if each one of these sons were born on a different month of the year, 12 of them, via four different women, that in itself is a miracle. And then if, well, at least it's, you know, the odds against that are phenomenal, if you want to get into that. And then if these sons are equated with these major signs, which I truly believe they are, and all these things are connected, well, you know, this is a... in my personal opinion, it's a worthwhile study. It's a worthwhile study. And so I'll be throwing in our calling as we go on, just so that we don't lose sight of that, and just so that we're cognizant of the fact of who we are. All right. So enough of my gibberish, and here we go. I'm gonna quote you something from a human being. This human being wrote this down. And this is something that I just want you to take into your hearts and minds after I tell you who this human being was. And then we're going to read a couple of scriptures of our calling. And within the scriptures of our calling is the word thankful. To be thankful. Okay? That's the point of the next 2 minutes or so. This person said, I thank my God for my handicaps. For through them, I have found myself. I have found my work. And I have found my God. And this quotation was from a woman named Helen Keller. And this saint of God could not see. She could not hear. And she could not speak. So I want you to take that into your hearts and minds, and then I want to read Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And it says, since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your heart, or set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life, and let me say, your true life, is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our true life, our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory. And I'll add, at the right hand of the Father in the super heavenlies. The word is thankful. And then we go on to read in Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and our Father by him. I read of a saint that could not see, could not speak, and could not hear. And she was thankful to God that she knew him and that he provided for her in this life, much less given unto her the calling of the mystery revealed at the right hand of the Father. So I would say what I'm saying this for is, Mike, be ye thankful. So I thought I'd begin with that. I don't know, I was just reading this book my wife had about folks that were giving thanksgiving to the Lord. And now we're going to, it's awesome. It is awesome for a woman like that, for a human being like that. I suppose we can compare ourselves and our trials with her. And then what we've been given in the Lord, and I suppose that if we're never thankful, we should really be ashamed, I suppose, is my point. And I'm saying that as much to Mike as I am to any of you. The last sign, we're going to get now into the last sign, the great sign of the zodiac in the universe. We know that these signs have been corrupted. We spoke about that with Nimrod and the tower. That's what I believe that was all about. We spoke about that in a lesson or two ago, and so mankind and Satan is quickly about perverting any glory of the Lord here. We live in a savage, dark world, we do. But yet we're children of light. We're innocent, supposed to be innocent children of light, yet we're mature sons of God walking in that light in this dark, dark place. But soon we won't be here. I mean, I thought about it a little bit. I thought about what a vapor is. You could get up in the morning if you're a hunter, or if you're up early in the morning And you could say, hey, look at that vapor over there, and then your friend would turn or wife would turn and say, oh, man, it's gone. And see, that's what we're like. That's what our lives are like. We're here for a moment of vapors of time, and then we're gone. But this whole world is going to churn on to its purpose, whether we're here or not. And that's I believe that's an understanding to be had. You're here for a particular amount of time, a short, very brief period of time. And a lot of us, if not all of us, are concerned so much with ourselves. But yet, God has reached down and He's given us knowledge that's way beyond ourselves. And the earth that we walk on and its purpose and where it's headed to is way beyond ourselves. And so that's a point that I also wanted to make, and I hope that it would be edifying to you. Leo, okay, so we're going to go back to this star chart, noticing that major sign number 12 is Leo. And then we're going to be done with this portion of this study. But it's going to continue on into the future. Leo, the lion. We know that we started with Virgo, and we're ended with Virgo, the virgin, and we're ending in Leo, the lion. And all these star signs have to do with the work of the Son of God. That's, in fact, the truth of it. He's everywhere. This is His world. It's not our world. Satan doesn't own it. He's got some power in it right now. Mankind has some power in it right now, but Almighty God owns this planet. There's no doubt about it. Even the heavens speak of Him and His glory. Leo means the Messiah's completed triumph. Leo, the last and 12th major sign of the godly zodiac, means... we started with Virgo, the promised seed of the woman. Star signs are actually saying, read the, I'm directed to read the fifth chapter of Revelation. So turn there, Revelation 5. Revelation 5. And I know this is this is not of our calling, but there is a lot of information in the book of Revelation. And I'll just say again, mankind has his ideas of what's going to happen to them in this planet. No, I'm sorry, the Chinese and the American and whatever, what are they called, space stations? No, you won't be living there. You won't be living there, and I doubt very much that many people will be at all. Living in such ridiculous inventions, by the way. And so some of these things are sold upon mankind as if that's our future. And I would say in a word, ridiculous. Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. This is what's coming to this planet. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in the heavens or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the lion. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. Interesting. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, not of the tribe of Levi, but of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. You know, and there are parts of our God that are scary. I mean, my wife and I now are reading Ezekiel, and in some portions of scriptures it talks about the Lord talking from Mount Sinai, and Moses and Israel were so afraid at the terror of that reality that they could hardly stand before it. It also states in Scripture that our God is a consuming fire and that He's a God of wrath. And so all of these sinful ways that have been perpetrated by mankind for so many years and decades and millennium that we are so tired of, they're going to be shortly coming to an end. That's the reality of this planet. And then what's going to come after that is not very pleasant whatsoever. And so His judgments on this place that we get so sickened of, His judgments of the holy God are to come. And there are many scriptures that talk about being saved from the wrath of God. Well, you and I are saved from the wrath of God. We are going to be presented before Him holy and without blemish, unreprovable in His sight. And to me, do I know what a gift that is? What a gift that is. That I know that there are others that are being saved, going to be saved from His wrath of other callings. But do you realize that we're going to be unreprovable in the sight of Almighty God? And so, what? What do we say to that? Well, hey, that's something that I can live with and live for. You know? I mean, if ever we're ever downtrodden, we have this mighty one that has said in His holy word, which I think according to a psalm, I was going to read it, He places above His very name. It's in a psalm. I don't know if it's Psalm 18 or... and so His word is so precious, and He tells us in His holy word that is our destiny, unreprovable, as if we've never sinned against Him whatsoever. And I don't know about you, but to me that almost certainly brings me to tears if I have my brain on correctly. And so we go on. I'm sorry for that sidebar there. And it says in verse 6 of Revelation 5, "And I behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." And so now we get a contrast from the one who didn't speak a word and put forth His life and shed His innocent blood. Now we're speaking about the second advent of this one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I think that this should kind of impact us in the sense that He came without blemish and sacrificed Himself, but now He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And see, we see the flip side of the Son of God. "And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one their harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." Hey, we're going to reign in the super heavenlies, possibly, if we're reigning with Him there. "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and beasts and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And for the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. And I want to say to you that I believe that part of our ministry in the super heavenlies is going to be praising his name and saying such things as are written here. Amen, and worthy is the Lamb, and many, many other rejoicing things. I think we're going to be rejoicing in him for eternity. And how can a human mind get around that? I don't know. This major sign of Leo has greatly to do with the Messiah's perfect triumph over his ultimate enemy, that old serpent, Satan the devil. This is most definitely seen in three of Leo's major constellations. Leo is a sign, major sign, and then within these signs are many constellations. We looked at that before. Leo has within it three constellations, Hydra, Crater, and Corvus. I'm going to be going over these for the next few minutes. Hydra is called the serpent. This constellation carries the message, the old serpent destroyed. The word Hydra means actually that he, the serpent, is abhorred. This is an immense constellation, and it actually enters three major signs, Virgo number 1, Cancer number 11, and Leo number 12. One of the major stars in Hydra is called Minkar El Sugia, which means the piercing of the deceiver. And so, going back, and I don't know if I'm going to have time tonight, but I've written down, when we look at these signs, wherever we are in the world, if we get nothing else out of this study, we should be able to look at each one of these major 12 signs, and we should be able to say a portion of the work of Christ is contained within this sign, and we should know what it is, because that's the truth of the heavens that are above us, and nothing else is. And so, again, we live in a wicked, perverse world, a world that is running from God and unto themselves, a world that is making themselves and indirectly Satan their God. You know, that's, unfortunately, that's what we live in for a vapor of time. All right, but, you know, you shine as lights in this world, and so you carry about these truths within your mind and heart, and you are very precious. Very precious to Almighty God. And so now I'm going to read a number of scriptures that deal with this old serpent. Because if you're going to believe the Son of God of the Bible, you're going to believe, and necessarily so, that his archenemy is Satan, the fallen Lucifer. Let's turn to Revelation 12. And eventually we're going to see his end. All right? I don't know how far we're going to get tonight. We have a few minutes left. Revelation 12, I'm going to read 7 through 10. Talking about that old serpent, that he's going to be finally destroyed. And this is what Leo is all about. Revelation 12, 7 through 10. And there was a war in heaven, and we could say, well, when is this? Okay, I mean, you know, we're studying this. Are we going to see it? Are we going to be around when this is occurring? Probably not. You know, I mean, you know, if nothing else in this study, we can compare what we know about our resurrection and our manifestation with the folks that are involved in, let's say, Revelation 12. You know, when is, or Revelation itself, or overcomers during the tribulation period. When is the tribulation period? Does that come before the millennial kingdom? When is Armageddon? What happens there? Does that come before the millennium or after it? Does our calling come before, or our resurrection come before the tribulation? After it, before the millennium, after it, what? And so we can put all of these things together and think about them, even though we're studying things of a different calling. But nevertheless, we have an enemy today, Ephesians 6, no doubt about it, and this enemy is being talked about here. And so this isn't too far afield from, this enemy is finally going to be having his due, and so I'm pretty happy about that, reading about it. I'm pretty happy that eventually this one who has brought about all this suffering and pain is going to get his final just dues. Goes on to say in Revelation 12, 7 through 10, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael, the archangel, I'll put, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels," interesting, "and prevailed not, neither was there found any more in the heavens. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heavens, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now, there's many in these scriptures, there's many truths to be thought about. Okay, where was Lucifer cast out of? And two. Okay, Lucifer is not Lucifer anymore. He's Satan now. I'm just saying that because I'm totally convinced of that. There is no Lucifer anymore. He was perfect, and he was created perfectly, and now he's the opposer, the deceiver, the murderer, the liar, Satan, the destroyer. That's who he is now. No more, he's not Lucifer anymore. And so Lucifer was cast down, and he became Satan. Where was Lucifer cast from? Where was he cast to? And then he became Satan, and then we're reading about Satan and his devil and devils being cast out of a place. Where were they cast out of? Is a question. Satan is cast out of this place now, the heavens, wherever that is. You'll have to put your thinking caps on. And he was cast into the earth. In actuality, and kind of like a sidebar, we can sort of wonder about all these things. Another truth is this, is that I thought about Satan has the power of death. What does that mean? I've harped on this before. What does it mean that Satan has the power of death? Well, he could kill us at any time if he was allowed to. But I believe that Satan has the power of death because he's the accuser. He accuses us, and he rightly accuses us, without the Son. And so, the Son of God, that is. And so, Satan has the power of death by his accusations. And so, the accuser here is going to be cast down into the earth. The accuser of the brethren. And so, his accusations are correct without the blood of Christ. But with the blood of Christ, they're a lie. And so that's how he has the power of death. I think that's one aspect as far as my opinion is concerned. Revelation 20. "But this accuser of the brethren is cast into the earth." And so this is a very important event. Revelation 20. This all has to do with the sign of Leo. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. "And I saw an angel come down from the heavens having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Interesting. and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Okay, so what occurs during this 1,000 years? Did the tribulation occur before this? Does the tribulation occur after this? What about Armageddon? Why is Satan loosed for a little season after this? Turn to Revelation 20, 10 through 15. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And this is the satanic triune god, if you will, small g. And shall be tortured day and night forever and ever. Does this mean for eternity? No. For the age of the ages is what it means. Is there eternal hellfire? No. Scripture doesn't teach that. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away from. From whose face the earth and the heavens fled away from, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things, which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell, death and the grave, were delivered up, the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So death and the grave were made to be dead. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so somebody could say, well, does this prove that Satan is killed forever? I thought about that. They could say, well, we got this lake of fire where all these things are being thrown. We have Satan and his angels being thrown into this lake of fire. But do we see, this came to my mind, do we see that Satan is killed here in this lake of fire? And so from this, and just hold on a second, don't go run out and say, oh, Mike believes in a burning hell now, and we're Satan, And so I thought about this, but let's turn to Ezekiel 28. And so, thank you. And so, all scriptures, as we study, there's many scriptures. One mistake that I've made in my life is that to take a scripture or two and then build a truth on it, but then later to find out that other scriptures might not prove that truth to be true. And so, as we study the scriptures, we find many scriptures that many times combine to prove a truth to be true. All right, so when we turn to Ezekiel 28, let's turn there. Will Satan be destroyed? Well, yes, he will. Yes, he will be. Ezekiel 28. Lo and behold, Ezekiel 28 tells us that he will. Satan will be killed forever. Amen. In Ezekiel 28, 14 through 19, it says, thou art the anointed cherub that covers. This is when he was Lucifer, perfect in his ways. What a shame. And I have set thee, though, thou was upon the holy mountain of God, whatever that was. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Interesting, we're studying about stones. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. That is not Satan. Until iniquity was found in thee, then he became Satan. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth. And so there's going to be a fire from within Satan that will destroy him. And I suppose it would be interesting to try to match up Ezekiel 28 with Revelation 20 and to study further where this might take you, if it, you know, if it takes you far or if it takes you near. But I think that there's definite proof that there is no burning eternal hell, and there's definite proof that Satan, in fact, will be destroyed. Death and the grave will be destroyed forevermore. And that's part of God's beautiful and wondrous plan, of which we have a tremendous part in. The second constellation I spoke about in Leo is called Crater, or the cup. This constellation carries the message of the divine cup of wrath poured out upon the serpent. And we can read a bit about that in Revelation 16. I have other references, but I want to move on here. Revelation 16, 12 through 21. Revelation 16, 12 through 21. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to hurry a little bit through these two constellations of Leo, and I'm going to get to just some points about the 12 major signs that I really want to just speak forth tonight before this study is ending. Revelation 16, 12 through 21. And it states, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. That the way of the kings of the east might be prepared, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings, unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." And so we're reading about this great battle that occurs after the millennial kingdom, the great battle of Armageddon, when Satan is let loose for a little season. "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came out a great voice out of the temple of the heavens from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities and the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of the heavens, every stone about the weight of a talent, over 100 pounds. And the men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great." And so this talks about a battle that's coming up off in the distance, more than 1,000 years from now. But we can see the nature of the wrath of God, and we can see the nature of his fury against men of sin that just will not accept him, even after he's here for 1,000 years. The third constellation that I was going to talk about is the constellation Corvus, which is called the Raven. And it means the raven that tears into pieces. And I was going to read Revelation 19 and Philippians 2, talking about the time when God is going to serve up in his wrath what he calls his sacrifice to these ravens that are going to eat the bodies of these men and drink their blood. I forgot where I read that. I believe that's in another part of Revelation. But I'm going to just stop there with the constellation Leo, and I'm going to read. I'm going to read the 12 major signs, and if nothing else, what I think we should think about, in my humble opinion, at least when we see the signs in the heavens, anywhere we're at walking about in the earth, and what they really mean. What do these signs really mean? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the 12 signs, and I'm going to read a short version of what they truthfully really mean. Virgo, number one, the promised seed of the woman, the king, the servant, the man, your God. Virgo. Libra, the Redeemer's atoning work, the price deficient, a price that we could never bring, balanced by the price which covers, which means the blood of the Lamb. Scorpio, the Redeemer's conflict, the attack of the enemy, the enmity that we've seen from Genesis 3 onward. Sagittarius, the Redeemer's triumph. How gracious is his coming. True and righteous are his judgments. Yep, truth and righteousness is our destiny. He's going to take his truth and his righteousness, and he's going to rework this planet and bring all things under his righteous judgment. Capricorn, the goat of the atonement, slain for the redeemed. The dead sacrifice that has risen again. Aquarius, the living waters of blessing poured forth for the redeemed ones. Pisces, the blessing of the redeemed in obeyance, the redeemed in bondage and affliction. And let me just add, for a brief time. Aries, the blessings of the redeemed completed and enjoyed, the life brought forth by the Lamb of God. Taurus, the Messiah, the coming judge of all the earth, his righteous judgment and his righteous rule. Gemini, the Messiah's reign as the Prince of Peace, the perfect man and the perfect God, his suffering and his glory. Cancer, the Messiah's redeemed possessions held fast, the greater sheepfold, the lesser sheepfold, and the traveling pilgrims that are blessed. Leo, the Messiah's completed triumph, the old serpent destroyed, the cup of divine wrath poured out upon the serpent, the birds of prey devouring the serpent, and his end is death once and for all. And with that, I'm going to end the study for tonight. And so we've seen the 12 major signs, some of their constellations. These signs are all equated with, believe it or not, these signs are all equated with the tribe of Israel. Precious stones are equated with each tribe of Israel, which is equated with one of these signs. These signs These signs are equated with stones that are found in the New Jerusalem. I think Doherty asked me this question. I think that you can find a lot of this truth in the Witness in the Stars. I mean, what I have here is I have this in writing. I can make a picture of this and send it out if you guys want. So I'll do that. But you know, you can find a lot of this truth, no problem. You can find a lot of this truth in the Witness of the Stars. I can't say that I dug up a lot of this out of my own mind. Nevertheless, whatever we find in a work of man, we have to make true through the Scriptures. And so I'm going to go on with this, and I'm going to go on with this in the future, and, you know, it's kind of involved. I hope you hang with me if you like. And, you know, I started this, and I'm just going to go as far as I can with it. And I thank you very much for your patience and being with the study tonight.